Way back, and probably shouldn't say it, but way back in 1968, that the Lord changed the direction of my life to bring me from attending a Catholic college in New Hampshire to a place called Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. I'm like, where is that? But the Lord redirected my steps before I knew the Lord. And I came to Ohio, started at Athens Bible, OU, and 2 years after I got there, my wife showed up. She wasn't my wife at the time, but she showed up. And the Lord brought us together, and in 1974, we were married. And I just thank the Lord for that, how God works in our lives even before we know Him. It's so true. I don't want to take a lot of time to share what God did, but my wife was saved in 1974, and it wasn't until 1987 that the Lord brought me to Himself. And just thankful for a faithful wife who loved the Lord, lived for Him in a difficult situation, and she's the one that led me to the Lord. So, thankful for God's goodness in our lives, and it's a real neat joy to be able to serve side by side in ministry pretty closely together. There's only a dental patient in between us when we when we serve. So it's really a joy to serve the Lord. So we're thankful. I probably won't make a whole lot of sense today. We are still recovering from our recent trip to Lebanon. We got back Monday night and drove out here. So, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. We've tried to come to this conference for several years. Pastor DeMar kept inviting us, and I kept saying no, not intentionally, but we just couldn't fit it into our schedule up until now. And so we're excited to be here, and we're thankful for you all as well. The slide up on the screen shows the website of our mission, Grace Dental and Medical Missions, and underneath that is my wife and I's Facebook name. So if you would like to be friends with us, you can. We will accept you. And we usually try to post pictures of our ministries as we're on our ministries on that site. For people to see what we're doing when we're away. I don't usually put any food recipes. I don't cook. And so you'll just get ministry updates from us there. So we did just get back from Lebanon on Monday night. This was our second time for ministry in Lebanon. It was my actual fourth time there to that country. Prior to that, we were in the country of Zambia. This was our third time in Zambia, but second time in the same ministry. And so I'm going to show you some pictures of both of those ministries, Zambia from September and then Lebanon 10 days later. We were in Lebanon. So I just want to encourage you that God is working everywhere in the world to bring people to Himself. It's just very exciting. My wife and I are trying to focus the time that God will allow us to continue in ministry. We're trying to focus getting into places in the world that are more difficult, like Lebanon, for average missionaries. And it's interesting, as we have tried to do that in countries that people generally think are dangerous, we're finding out that it's not the case. It's not the case. A couple of years ago, I was in northern Iraq, which they call Kurdistan now, and I went door to door witnessing there. I'm afraid to do that in Massachusetts. Sometimes we get an idea about things in our head, and we believe it. And so I've been finding out it's better to look for yourself. than to believe what people say about things. And I don't know if that's the devil's tool sometimes to keep people away. The country of Lebanon is wide open to the gospel. Lebanon is a Christian country. It has freedom of religion there. And, you know, we think it's the most dangerous place in the world sometimes. We're led to believe that. But we're thankful for the opportunities that God is giving us. Lord willing, in January, we'll be in Benin in West Africa. As some of you might know, our mission has built a clinic there. The clinic opened in May of this year. Actually opened officially in August. It started up. The doctor and his wife that are serving full-time there went in May, the end of May. The clinic started full-time in August. And praise the Lord, I just got a report, I think it was yesterday or the day before, from Dr. Steve Boutrous, that they have seen, since they've started, four people come to know the Lord as Savior. Now, the clinic is in a 99% Muslim area in northern Benin. So, and we had been there, our mission had been there, I don't know, maybe 7-8 times for short-term trips, two-week trips, and we never saw anybody come to know the Lord. Now the clinic is open and people are there every day, and the Lord is blessing. So we're very excited about what God is doing there. So we'll be there in January for a few weeks. And then in March, Lord willing, we'll be going to Indonesia and Micronesia for a ministry. Where are we going in May, Mrs. Mitchell? I can't remember. Oh, the end of May. The end of May, I told you my mind was foggy. The end of May will be back to the West Bank of Israel. Again, a place where people say is very, very dangerous. We were there in February, and we didn't get killed. So we're planning to go back, Lord willing, and ministering to Palestinians there in the West Bank. And we went, as I mentioned, in February. And a pastor actually said to me as we were getting ready to go, "Why are you going there to minister to those people? They hate Israel." I said, "Well, I know they hate Israel, but they're also unsaved and they need the gospel. Why shouldn't I go there?" And so we're thankful for that opportunity. And with that in mind, if you could just look for a minute here, in 2 Peter chapter 3, some verses here that God has used in my life to really kind of direct me into this area or desire to reach out to people who are real seriously in need, and not many are going. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says there, oh, you just got a text, Ben. Where's Ben? You just got a text. His phone is up here. Anyway, you want me to read it? Want me to read it? Let me see. No, I don't know. 2 Peter 3:9. Seriously, sorry. It says there that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Lord's mind, that people be saved. It's his heart, I believe. And we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, another verse similar in thought. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read there verses 1 to 4. It says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." God's heart is that all men would be saved. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I know it's in my Bible, I'll find it here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, the last verse we'll read here. It says there, jumping right in the middle of this section here, but it says in verse 10 and verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." So we don't know how much time is left. It's been said a few times already here that the Lord could come at any time. The situation in the world is really terrible, and things are in place for the Lord to come at any time. And there's work still to be done. And so I trust that we all have that mindset that people need to be saved, and that we should be doing the things that God would have us to be doing. My wife and I are I know we look very young, well, at least my wife does, but we're not. But our desire is to continue in ministry as long as God would allow. A couple of years ago, I would say that we wanted 20 more years. So we're trusting that God would allow us to continue and to focus on those people that are more desperately in need of the gospel, where many people don't go to serve. So I'm going to go through these pictures here. Zambia, we were there in September, and Zambia is a diverse country. There's a lot of Muslim people there. There's a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses people there, but most of the people there are just animists. They worship spirits, ancestors, and so on, and they need to hear the gospel. We were in the city of Chapata, over here on the right side of the picture, and we were actually in a village up in here somewhere. It's not even on the map there, so we flew into Kitwe, Lusaka over here, Lusaka, and then drove up to Chapata, and then here we were. As I mentioned, this is the second time we were in this particular area of Zambia. In 2013, we were in this village. It's called it's called what it says there. and when we were there, there was no church, and the missionary that we were working with had a desire to plant a church in this village. And so as you can see, we're working outside under this little tarp. And while we were doing our dentistry, the gospel was being shared with the people that were waiting. Sometimes these people have to wait the whole day for their turn. So they hear the gospel, some one-on-one, some in a group, and so on. But they hear it continually during the day. So that was in 2013, September. And we got a note from the missionary shortly after that saying that he had started a Bible study in that village, and people had been saved, some during the ministry and some after the ministry. And by September, he had a church in that village. That is unheard of in missionary work, really unheard of. And we were a little bit skeptical, honestly, because that doesn't happen that quick. And this village was a conference center for the local Jehovah's Witnesses area in Zambia, in that particular village. And so he sent us pictures back of the church and so on. And so we went here in September of 2017, and there's the church, Calvary Baptist Church, in that village. And just amazing testimony of God's faithfulness and what God can do in situations like this. And we drove past the area where they had all of these, I was going to say buildings, but in Zambia it wasn't really buildings, but we'll say kind of like huts for the people that would come to the Jehovah's Witness conferences. And they had these a hundred of these structures there. And when we saw them in 2013, they looked inhabitable. But when we saw them this time, 2017, they are uninhabitable. They don't have their conference in that village anymore. now the Lord is there, and a vibrant church is there. And so we were able to worship with these people. Look at that. I couldn't believe it. And these people were all unsaved in 2013. And now he has a church. He has between 50 and 75 people come on Sundays. And many of these people in this picture were doing the evangelism on this trip. That's just for us, that was just so exciting. Pastor Beeman, Todd Beeman, who's a missionary there, he's been in Zambia now for, I think, over 10 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, and faithfully serving in this village. His desire now is to start another church in another village, and that's why he invited us to come back. And so he invited people from that village and another village, two villages that he's kind of targeting, he invited them to come to have dental care. And so many of the patients that we were treating during this time were from those areas. And so on this trip, we were doing both medical and dental. So there were a lot of people that came out. We were treating over 100 people each day. And in the 7 days of clinic time we treated over 1,000 people. And all of those people heard the gospel, and actually probably close to 1,000 more that weren't treated heard the gospel, because they was just overwhelmed by the amount of people. So each day people would come and be registered, essentially on a first-come, first-served basis, but we tried to pick out anybody that was seriously ill. But really the exciting part was to see these men from the church sharing the gospel with those people as they waited, people that weren't saved in 2013 when we were there. So very exciting. So each day people would be there sharing the gospel with those patients that are waiting. And then in some cases they were doing it one-on-one. Mrs. Bell, who was part of our team, ministering to ladies. She had served in Zambia several years ago and knew the language, and so she was sharing with the ladies there. And this particular lady here, she sat with this lady, I don't know, it seemed like for hours that day, and believes that this lady was saved that day. So that was exciting as well. So we began each day with prayer, our team, as well as the Zambian translators that would be working with us, again, people from the church. And so we would begin each day with prayer and then do the treatment. We had a medical doctor with us, a couple of nurses, as well as my wife and I doing dental care. So you see the doctor here. Now, the little boy on the left side of the picture there happened to fall off a donkey cart that particular morning and scraped the side of his face there. He needed several stitches. But he came back a few days later. He was doing great. So we were thankful we were there for that. As I said, we had nurses there with us too, checking blood pressures, checking blood sugars, and checking for malaria as well, and various other things that people would need here, taking actually just wax, I think, out of that person's ear. So that was having the medical allows us to impact more people than just doing dental. I can only see about 20 to 25 people in a day. The doctor can see about 75 or so, sometimes even more than that in a day. They work much harder than I do, I guess. I don't know. Here, my wife and I working, treating this man with our translator there. And that was interesting. Wasn't in this particular case here, but treating another a person, all of a sudden, the missionary who was sitting in front of us there said, "Quick, get over here, there's a snake." And, of course, we didn't ask any questions. We just ran over. There was a snake crawling down the wall behind us there. And by the time he had called to us and we turned around, the snake was gone. They never did find it. But after that, we were looking for it every day. You never know what's going to happen. Just that, you know, the Lord really tries to, the Lord encourages us Along the way, during these ministries, from time to time, this particular man was a teacher in a school in that village where we were working, and we made an exception and had him come without waiting, because he was teaching all day and he wouldn't be able to wait in line. So he came, and the missionary had a chance here sharing the gospel with him and inviting him to church. And then we treated him, and then we treated his two daughters as well, one of them here, and then this girl here, who had a special connection with my wife. And actually, we had to check our luggage when we were leaving to make sure she wasn't a stowaway. She really didn't want my wife to leave. I talked with her father and the school teacher, and the missionary shared the gospel with him, invited him to church, and I said, you know, if you come to church, I'll sit with you. And so this picture shows him outside the church building that Sunday. He did come to church, and I did sit with him. So, you know, it's just exciting to see how God brings certain people that we can connect with along the way. We're trusting that this man and his family will be saved, Lord willing. And then another blessing for us was to be able to treat this lady, actually in the missionary's home, who this lady was saved in the ministry in 2013. So we don't always see that. We don't always return to the same place more than one time. But the Lord encouraged us and gave us the opportunity to see some people that were saved in the previous ministry. So that was exciting for us. We also got to taste the local food, which we don't like. And here the ladies are preparing this stuff. Up in the right corner, Pastor Hickson probably has eaten something similar to that stuff there. I call it wallpaper paste. They serve it with green stuff here, and liver here, and so we don't like it. And then for dessert, we had caterpillars, which they affectionately call worms. And usually I have willpower and I'm able to resist, but I was, I won't say forced, but I ate one. Well, I had one in my mouth for a very short period of time until I bit into it and something squirted out in my mouth. And I said, enough of that. So anyway, it's always interesting to be in Africa. But we're so thankful. Again, we seriously would appreciate prayer for the missionary. My wife just heard from the wife of the missionary wife yesterday, I think it was. She was saying, you know, that they're under a lot of pressure right now. Satan, you know, there is a spiritual battle, and a lot of people heard the gospel. Probably close to 2,000 people heard the gospel, and Satan is not pleased with that. And so appreciate prayer for the ministry there in Zambia. In Lebanon, again, Lebanon is a very interesting country in that it's divided up. We see here it's a country of religious and political diversity, and sometimes there's not much difference between the religious and the political. They're kind of intertwined. And you can see that the religious, there's Maronite or Catholic people, a large group of those people in Lebanon. There's a small percentage of Christian people. There's Muslim people, the Shia and the Sunni, which are not close friends. And then there's the Druze population. The Druze are sort of an outcast Muslim group that believe in reincarnation and a lot of other really strange things. The country is very open to the gospel. But part of the problem in Lebanon that we've noticed is that you can actually start a war by evangelizing a Muslim person. And so there's a little hesitancy on the part of the churches in Lebanon to reach out to the Lebanese Muslim people. And that's obviously, you know, a problem, but it's a serious danger. In some places, there would be a Baptist church across the street from a Muslim neighborhood, but the two never mix because it's dangerous to do that. If you upset somebody, they all have weapons. Somebody shoots a gun, and now you have a war. So a country has been at war for so many years that they don't want a war. And so they kind of sit back a little bit as far as that goes. But God had another plan for Lebanon. And God has brought probably close to 3 to 4 million Syrian refugees into Lebanon. Now that in itself is very interesting because the Lebanese people and the Syrian people don't like each other. In fact, they hate each other. And here they are living side by side. But the thing about it is the Lebanese people don't want to help the Syrian refugees. So who's helping the Syrian refugees? The Christians. The Christians in Lebanon, the Baptist churches are reaching out to the Syrian refugees and starting ministries for them. And so that's who we have joined with in Lebanon. And reaching out to these Syrian refugees that are coming in. The map is a little bit old. I couldn't find one that was really up to date. This is around 2013. But you see Syria here. Refugees are flooding into Lebanon and all the other countries around. But in Lebanon, they share a long border together there. So as I said, there's probably about close to 4 million. They say there's about 2 million registered Syrian refugees, but there are many, many illegal refugees that have just come across the border. And so most of them live integrated into the population of Lebanon. They're not in what we would call refugee camps. There are a few of those refugee camps scattered here and there. And many of these people in these camps have been there for 3, 4, 5, 6 years living in these camps. These refugees that come have nothing with them and very little money. They are able to get some work in Lebanon, but not a whole lot. And so many of the churches are reaching out to these refugees with helping them with aid, particularly with food, with clothing, with other things that are necessary for them to survive there in Lebanon. And you see here, what a great opportunity, what a great open door. This is the church that we worked with. The pastor there has been in the ministry for a number of years, and previous to his involvement with Syrian refugees, he had a church of about 10, 12 people. And now you see his church is full. And all of these people, I'm going to say all, the majority of these people there are Muslims. Many of them not saved. And they're there every Sunday. And they're there every Friday. They have a Friday night meeting. Used to be prayer meeting, but most of the people that come are not Christians, so it's an evangelistic meeting now. And these people come. And they are required to attend one service in this church in order to get aid from the church. But most of them are there for the two services. So it's just really incredible what God is doing. And the refugees are seeing a different side of Christianity. They have been told about Christians and how bad they were, etc. And as they come into Lebanon, it's the Muslims that are turning their backs on them, and it's the Christians that are reaching out to them, showing them love in different ways. And so that is not going unnoticed by these people. And in this particular ministry, there have been about 30 of these Muslim refugees that have been saved through this ministry. So very exciting to see. So This is the church, Zale Gospel Baptist Church, and Pastor Kareem there. And we have come alongside of him to help him as he ministers to these refugees. So this was the Friday night church service. And again, most of the people in this picture are Muslims. The man standing up is leading in prayer. Actually is Lebanese there, but the rest of those people in the picture would be Syrian refugees. And so those are the people that we were treating in the church building there. My wife and I, again, this was our second time to this ministry, and treated some of the same people that we had seen previously. And so we saw adults as well as children. And again, all of these people are Syrian refugees. And unfortunately, they have horrible teeth. I mean, it's horrible. And but there are so many that we would tell them that we could only do, you know, one or two things for them, the thing that was bothering them the most, etc. But some of these kids, I mean, they had cavities in just about every tooth, and just kind of sad to see their condition. But again, God is using this to bring them in contact with the gospel. We work alongside, there's an American missionary, Cindy, who is a nurse practitioner. However, she's mostly there to do evangelism with the ladies. And she's made special connections with some of these ladies. So this particular woman sitting in the chair, Cindy believes she has been saved. But these people come from horrible home situations. This lady's husband just took a second wife who moved into their home with two children, a home that doesn't have room for them. So just sad situations these people have. Here she's praying with her before treatment. Again, praying before dental treatment. And then Pastor Kareem introduced us to this lady. I forget her name. Mohammed. Oh, M. Mohammed. Mohammed is a man's name. I think it's a child. Is it her child? So the mother is usually called by the child's name, so they call her M. Mohammed. Anyway, this particular lady shared her testimony of salvation with us prior to treatment. Very exciting to hear that. And she said that she believes God brought the war in Syria to get the people, the Syrian Muslims, out of Syria into Lebanon. For what reason? To get saved, so they could hear the gospel. Syria is very close to the gospel. You could not go as a missionary to Syria. You can go to Lebanon as a missionary. And so praise the Lord that they're seeing the hand of God and moving them out of Syria into contact with the gospel. And God is working in just amazing ways. This man here, again, he's a Muslim, Syrian refugee. His wife attends the church, so the pastor allowed him to come for dental care. He was a lawyer in Syria, but now he doesn't even have a job in Lebanon. And he was, prior to this, very antagonistic towards the gospel. So we had the opportunity to help him with his teeth, and then the pastor took him into his office and shared the gospel with him. And here's a picture of them coming out. The man has a Bible with him as he is coming out of the pastor's office. So we don't know whether he was saved or not, but it's just interesting that again, this man who was antagonistic, would not go to church, came for dental care, and heard the gospel. So that was neat. I just put this picture up because it's interesting. Cell phones are everywhere, even in the dental chair. And sometimes I have to stop because somebody gets a phone call or a text like Ben. But kind of interesting. Again, God does special things for us along the way. Probably most of you don't know, but my mother was Lebanese. She passed away several years ago. Never lived in Lebanon. Her parents were born in Lebanon, and they moved to the United States. And it was always my mother's desire to go back to Lebanon to search out her family. I would ask her, "Where are you from in Lebanon?" She'd say, "I don't know. Maybe Beirut." Well, that wasn't true. But so I mentioned I've been there several times now to Lebanon, and everybody would tell me, "Well, your mother's family, they can tell by their names." She said, "Your mother's family was from the north." And so anyway, I had when we were there this time, the pastor was asking me if we eat Lebanese food. And I said, "Well, not, you know, when we can, but we my wife is not Lebanese. She doesn't cook Lebanese food, but I grew up eating Lebanese food." And he said, "Well, what's your favorite?" And I said, "Stuffed grape leaves was my favorite Lebanese food." Well, the lady here on the left with my wife there and her little boy, she heard that somehow. I don't know how she heard it, but for 2 days she brought so many grape leaves to the clinic. I couldn't eat them all, but they were, I said, they are just like my mother. So anyway, God connects us to people. And so this lady also was able to hear the gospel. The man pictured there, as I mentioned, we went up to the north to look for my family, my mother's family. And we came across this man who was the mayor of the village that we think probably was the village where my grandparents were from. And we talked with him. He had the same last name as my mother did. And he said, "Oh, yeah, your grandfather definitely was from here. But my grandfather probably left over 100 years ago. And so they only have records. He only had records that went back 100 years. And there was no record of my grandfather. But he said he was going to look in another city for the records that go back further. So, but anyway, it was exciting to be able to hear Cindy sharing a gospel tract with this man, sharing the gospel with him, here giving him an Arabic tract, although he did speak English. He is Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, similar to Greek Orthodox, which all of the people in this area would be. And when my parents came, my grandparents came, they started attending Catholic church, and that's, my family was all Catholic. So anyway, we're excited to look further into that special connection. And I believe that connection has allowed me to get into Lebanon a couple of times where we've had some issues getting into the country. And once I tell people that my mother was Lebanese, they change their attitude a little bit. So one thing that we prayed about prior to going this time we brought a lot of specialized dental equipment. You want the text? Your wife said to bring home milk and bread. We lost it. I didn't realize that. Sorry. Well, anyway, I'll just continue to share that story. We were bringing some specialized dental equipment to leave there. And getting through customs, we weren't quite sure if we were going to be able to do that. And we had letters from different people to hopefully allow us to do that. But you never know. And so we got there, and we had to put all of our luggage through the conveyor belt to x-ray it. And so we were like, okay, this is going to be it. And so I put my backpack in first. Now, I've had this same backpack for several years now, and I've always hated it because it has all these straps on it that I don't use. And they're always getting stuck everywhere. Well, one of the straps got stuck in the conveyor belt and stopped the conveyor belt. And so all of our luggage was behind it, hadn't entered the conveyor belt. And I went around and I'm trying to pull my backpack out. And the guy monitoring the conveyor belt came up to me and said, "Stop it, stop it." And he said, "I'll just reverse it, you know, and I'm pulling on it." And so anyway, he reversed the conveyor belt, got so angry, he just said, "Take your stuff and leave." So I love my backpack now. And so anyway, I mean, God is faithful, isn't he? I mean, just, we don't know if we would have had any trouble or not, but we didn't even have to worry about that after that point. And so we have left a lot of equipment there in Lebanon to be able to return again for ministry. And Lord willing, pastor there wants us there twice a year now, and so we'll see what happens. Some of you know that I also have an addiction to coffee. A certain kind of coffee, and we were looking for it there. We found this coffee. They call it Nescafe, and it's really not coffee. I mean, they call it coffee, but it's really not coffee. But I had some because that's all I could find until I found Dunkin' Donuts. I found the real coffee there in Dunkin' Donuts. And guess what? We're staying over here at the Holiday Inn, and what's across the street? Dunkin' Donuts. Wow, we love Salem, Ohio. Anyway, so pray that the door would remain open in Lebanon. The Lebanese government is actively pursuing a way to get these Syrian refugees out. They're taking jobs. They're causing a lot of stress on the infrastructure in Lebanon. So they're actively trying to get them out of Lebanon. They have worked recently, actually in conjunction with Hezbollah, a terrorist group, to clear the border area between Lebanon and Syria of ISIS and other groups there that are fighting in the Syrian war. And with the purpose of establishing refugee camps along the border on the Syrian side. And they would put all the refugees, the Syrian refugees, back in Syria. And they wouldn't have contact there with the gospel as easily. So that could happen as soon as a year from now, or maybe longer. No one really knows for sure. But there certainly is an effort to get them out. So pray that the door would remain open, and especially that God would send others to help, not blinded by the fear of danger in Lebanon, because, I mean, we were driving around in Lebanon freely without any problem. We would appreciate prayer for that. So Lord willing, we'll be back there. I'm not sure if before next September, but at least October probably, we'll be back there in Lebanon. So I appreciate your prayer for my wife and I. We are still trying to get back to time zone here. Interesting fact that doesn't really mean a whole lot, but last weekend we had to change our clocks back an hour in Lebanon. And now this weekend, tonight, I guess, we changed our clocks back again. So I'm not quite sure what time zone we're in these days. But yesterday we struggled, sorry, Pastor Fawcett, we struggled to get through the message last night. We did listen, though, we were up very early this morning. So Lord willing, we'll get back on track. We appreciate your prayer for that so that we can continue into the Lord's work. So. Thank you very much. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for opening doors around the world to the gospel. Thank you for people who have been responding in difficult places. We think of the Muslim people in Lebanon, Benin, who are so resistant to the gospel, and how you are working there in mighty ways. And also for these folks in Lebanon, we thank you for the refugees that are there and their openness to the gospel. And we also pray for the ministry in Zambia, that you would continue to give strength and spiritual encouragement to the missionaries there. We pray for ministry there next year, that you would guide in that. Just thank you for those willing to serve. We pray, the Lord of the harvest, that you would send laborers. Lord, the harvest truly is plenteous, but Lord, the laborers truly are few. We ask that you would raise many up, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.